Chapter 11 this morning, Numbers chapter 11. I'm going back to my stronghold series that I've been doing for a long time now because I've got several things going. I have an Old Testament book, a New Testament book, and this stronghold series. And occasionally the Lord will lay a stronghold on my heart to preach to you. And last week we preached on the stronghold of guilt. And this morning the Lord has laid another stronghold on my heart. I'm sure it's a stronghold that nobody here needs. Nobody here struggles with. It's the stronghold of complaining. Aren't you glad you came this morning, right? Yes. Complaining, grumbling, murmuring. You know, the Bible calls it murmuring in the Bible. I remember Brother Keith Kaiser. He had us do this. I'm going to have you do this. Could be childish, I guess, but that's okay. I'm a childish pastor. When I count to three, I just want all of you just to start saying the word murmur. Will you do that? You ready? Don't be too proud to do this. Come on. Now, I'm not going to say it so you can hear yourself here. One, two, three. Everybody say it. Keep saying it over and over. Do you hear that? Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous? Makes you want to jump off a cliff, you know what I'm saying? That's what complaining is in the ears of God. Now, we're all guilty of it. Come on, friends. I am, okay? We're all guilty of this. We need help with it. It can be a stronghold. Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop right there because really that's enough. You know, I could. Now, I'm not going to read that and go home, okay? But I could just read that and close my Bible and say, there's the message. When God heard it, it displeased him. And I preach to you today on the stronghold of complaining. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning, but we're reminded that we love you because you first loved us. And I pray you'll help me to teach and preach in a way that pleases you. Please, Lord, help me to do an accurate job with your word, not adding to or taking away, but simply preaching, thus saith the Lord. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. 6-year-old Molly was complaining one day to her mother that her stomach hurt. Realizing it was almost lunchtime, her mother said, and I quote, "Your stomach is empty, and you'll feel better after you've put something in it." Later that same day, the pastor came over for a visit, and while he was there, in his conversation, he mentioned he had a headache. 6-year-old Molly spoke up and said, "That's because it's empty, and you'll feel better when you put something in it." I figured I'd give you a funny story because I'm getting ready to put the hammer down, right? Today we continue with our series on strongholds. A stronghold is something that the devil uses to bring you in bondage. It's something that the devil uses to get a hold of you. It's hard to break it. It's a stronghold. The stronghold we're studying today is the stronghold of complaining, grumbling, murmuring, griping. It's reported that complaining is an expression of dissatisfaction, an expression of grumbling. It's been defined as to claim or express displeasure. It means to find fault, to declare annoyance, to make an accusation, to bring a formal charge against something. Someone said the Greek word complainer is one who is who's discontented with his lot in life. It's the opposite of gratefulness and contentedness. Now, complaining is a stronghold that some do not even know they're guilty of. It's a stronghold that some don't even know they're guilty of. One man said, and I quote, "Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own." During a Sunday school, the teacher asked her class of first graders if anyone could describe a Christian.
A little boy quickly raised his hand and stated, "Christians are nice people who never complain. They never argue. Or they never talk back." Then he said, "My daddy's a good Christian, but my mama's not." Now, I'm quoting directly. I didn't make that story up, okay? Today, I want to talk to you about complaining, the stronghold of complaining. Is this off? Okay. Let me go to y'all would like to see me try to confine myself to the pulpit. Would you raise your hand? You'd like to see that? Have you are awake today? Would you raise your hand? Most didn't raise their hand. That's troubling. Honestly, that's troubling. That's why I'm complaining about you right now. You know what I'm saying? Let me give you a Bible study on this topic of complaining. Number one, let's notice the command not to complain. The command not to complain. The first thing we note in our study of complaining is how the Word of God clearly condemns it. The Lord does not ask us not to complain. He commands us not to complain. Listen to these verses. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye. That murmur means complain, gripe. Grumble, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren. That word grudge, look it up, it means don't complain against each other. Don't complain. Complain not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standing before the door. Number one, the command not to complain. Number two, let's notice the causes of complaining. Now, there are many causes today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some Bible stories about different times in the Word of God that people complained. And I'm going to give you an outline. It's all D's just to help you remember it. Of what was going on, what happened that caused these people to start murmuring, caused these people to start complaining. And I want to look at these Bible stories with you. First of all, the first reason in the Bible, and I'm talking about in the Bible now, the first reason in the Bible that people complained, number one, was because of disappointment. Disappointment. The story I'm giving you is found in Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 22 to 24, but you can read that chapter later. Listen to these verses. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they're thirsty, there's no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Let me paraphrase what's happening here. The Lord had been extremely good to His chosen people. When you come to Exodus chapter 15, the nation of Israel has had God's goodness poured out upon them. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage, and He had set them free as a nation. As you come to these verses, verse 22 through 24 that I read, you're reminded of how the Israelites, in context, you can go back and look at it, but in context, they have just sung a wonderful song of praise to God. I mean, they're praising God with a song for His mighty works on their behalf. Things were going great. Life was on a spiritual mountaintop. However, life, as life typically does, their mountaintop did not last long. In verse 22, the Bible says they went 3 days into the wilderness and they found no water. Imagine a crowd of this size in a desert and there's no water to be found. Now, this was truly a problem. They were thirsty and they needed to find water. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, Israel is across the sea now. They have had a wonderful time of praise, singing the song of Moses. They're a redeemed people. You would think that from now on life would be a bed of roses and that they would be delivered from all of their difficulties. There should not have been a cloud in the sky, a thorn along the way, right here, nor a sigh from any of the congregation. They went 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and what happened? They thirsted. There's a problem. There's no water. When finally they come to a place and there's water. Can you imagine the excitement? We can only imagine the excitement they must have felt when they spotted the water that they craved, they so desperately needed. And they thought their thirst would be quenched and their needs would be met. But when they tasted that water, it was bitter. They couldn't stomach it. Even though it looked good, they couldn't swallow it. May I put it this way? What a disappointment. What a disappointment. These people, when they thought they had what they thought they needed, and they went and they put it to their mouth, they were so disappointed that they couldn't swallow it and that it wasn't going to satisfy their thirst. So what'd they do? They began to complain. They complained against Moses and wanted to know what they would do to get drink. Remember, these are the same people who had just finished the praise song just a few verses earlier. Just 3 days earlier, they're singing praise to God. 3 days later, because of disappointment, they're murmuring, questioning during their time of having no water to drink. Another example of disappointment is a reason why people in the Bible complain is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. I'm just going to paraphrase these stories or I will not get through this sermon. But in that passage of Scripture, Matthew 20, verses 1 through 11, you'll notice that that's the story when the master has a vineyard and he's hiring laborers. And he told them that if they will work in his field, at the end of the day, they will get one penny. Remember the story? But throughout the day, he's hiring more laborers. And it comes down to the last hour of the day, and he hires laborers. At the end of the day, some have worked all day long. Some have worked just a few hours. Some have only worked an hour. And now they line up for their pay, and he's paying those who work the least amount of time first. And lo and behold, when he opens his hand, he has one penny for them. Remember the story? And what did the people who started the day, who had agreed for one penny, what did they do back here? The Bible says they supposed that they would get more when they came because they were comparing themselves with this person over here. So whenever they got up there thinking that they were going to get paid more because they worked longer hours, he reached his hand out and had a penny. Exactly what he told them that he would do. Exactly what they agreed to. But when they got up there, they were disappointed. They had deceived themselves into thinking that they were worth more than they really were. And that disappointment, you read that chapter, and the Bible says they murmured against the master. Let me tell you, when people complain, not when life is good. They complain when disappointment hits. You ever been disappointed? Amen? You ever been disappointed? You know what the tendency to do is when you're disappointed? Yap, 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 yap. Complain, complain, complain. Number one, disappointment. Number two, distress. This is found in Exodus 16 and Exodus 17. Let me read this to you. Exodus 16, 1 through 3. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They are hungry here. And because they're hungry and they don't know how God's going to do it, God's promised them he's going to take care of them. But right now there's no food on the table. So they begin to murmur and say, I wish I'd have died back in Egypt. Because at least back there I had something to put in my mouth. That's what they're doing. Then in Exodus 17, 1 to 3, they're hungry in chapter 16. They're thirsty in chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Listen to me. Before they ever left Egypt, God promised them the promised land. But in their time of distress, their time when they have a need, their time when they're in trouble, there's no food, there's no water, then they start murmuring and complaining. You may tell you when you complain, when I complain, when we're hurting, when we're in distress, when there's a need that you feel's not being met, or there's something here that's brought stress on your life, where's the food, where's the water? You know, the food and water in our life can be finances. It could be health. I don't know what it is. I'm just talking about something that makes you uncomfortable. They were hungry. They were thirsty. So they started complaining. We see people in the Bible complain when they were disappointed. We see when they were in distress. Number three, a third cause of complaining is disbelief. We see this in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 11, and then verse number 27. Listen to this verse right here. Listen to this passage. This is the story in Numbers chapter 13, where the Lord has promised the promised land. And he said, "I want you to choose out somebody from every tribe and send them to view the country. I want you to go get a look at how good I'm going to be to you." They come back, and remember, 10 of them give an evil report, and 2 of them give a good report. Listen to these verses. Numbers 14, verse 1 and following. "All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness.'" Paraphrase. When you come to this chapter, the 12 spies have brought their report back. The 10 spies say, "Hey, we found the land just like God said it was. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that's, good and pleasant to the eyes. The grapes are so big it takes 2 men to carry 1 cluster of them. But I'll tell you what else we found there. We found giants there. We found great walled cities there. There's no way that we're going to be able to take that land. If we go into that land, we're just like grasshoppers. They will smush us. They will kill us. God's out to get us." So in chapter 14, they believe those 10 above God. And they're murmuring, verse 3, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now notice what he says. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they," what? "Believe me." Will it be ere they believe me? "Or for all the signs which I've showed among them," look at verse number 27. "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me." God said, "Let me tell you why they're murmuring. Because they don't believe what I say. They disbelieve me. Psalm 106, verses 24 and 25. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. By the way, those verses say they were murmuring in their tents. There's a lot of murmuring that doesn't go on in the church house, but it goes on behind closed doors at home. And God Almighty hears every last word. Disbelief causes complaining. God had already promised them the land, but they didn't believe his word, and they complained when obstacles stood in their way. We need to understand that when we complain, let this sink in. When we, I'm not saying you, I'm saying we, because I'm guilty. When we complain, it is simply lack of faith in God. That's all it is. Number three, disbelief. Number four, discouragement. We see this in Numbers 21, 4 and 5. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Talking about the Israelites. They're on the way to the promised land to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, according to my study, this right here, which says they went from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom, according to my study, this means they were being refused the way that they requested. They returned through the Arabah, the way of the Red Sea, to Elath. And at the head of the eastern gulf of the Red Sea, and thence passed up through the mountains to the eastern desert, so as to make the circuit of the land of Edom. Let me paraphrase what's going on, in other words, because the Bible says they were discouraged because of the way. Why were they discouraged? Get this. They were discouraged to find themselves so close to the promised land, but they couldn't enter it. Instead of being able to go the way they wanted to go, they were rerouted through a sandy desert and plunged into new and unknown difficulties. Get this, their plans were shattered. They had everything planned. We're going to go that way, that way, that way. God says, that's what you think. There's going to be a bend in the road. There's going to be something unexpected, and it's going to discourage you. And when they thought they could go straight, but they had to go around, they got discouraged. So they started complaining. Discouragement caused them to complain. You ever been discouraged? Are you breathing, right? You ever been discouraged? What's the tendency when you get discouraged? Right? You know I'm telling it to you straight today, friends. Discouragement. Let me give you two more. Delusion. You say, what's that mean? Let me just give you the passages and explain these. Luke chapter 5, verses 29 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. When you read those passages, Luke chapter 5, 29 to 32, Luke 15, 1 to 7, Luke 19, 1 to 7, you'll find the Lord in the company of lost sinners. He's eating with them. He's sitting with them. He's allowing them to come close to him and touch him. All of this. But there was a group of people standing there in all three of these instances when he's allowing himself to get close to sinners. By the way, aren't you glad he gets close to sinners? People that they knew, that, hey, those are ungodly people. And they're over here murmuring and complaining against the Lord because he's dwelling, living. I'm talking about sitting and eating with people that they would never sit and eat with. You got the picture? I call this delusion. What I mean is they were misinterpreting something. That's what it means to be deluded. You misinterpret it. You don't understand it. You got it? Let me ask you a question. Has anything happened to you and you can't figure it out? Anything ever happened to you and you just don't understand? You can't comprehend it. You misinterpret it. Things like this, I'm quitting on God. I thought he loved me. That's delusion. What I mean by this is when something happens, when the Lord is doing something and you can't figure it out, you can't understand it. Why did he let that come? I've heard our preacher say, there's no answer to why. Correct, preacher? There's no answer to why. There are things that hit our life, and if we're not careful, it makes us delusional. We start trying to figure it out. I can't, what's going on? When you can't figure it out, watch out. When you're deluded, when you're delusional, when you don't understand, when you can't comprehend it, when you're confused, you have a tendency to start complaining. Let me give you the final one here, and then we move on. I call this distraction. This is found in Mark chapter 14, verse number 3 and following. Listen to this. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. She brake the box, poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured. There it is. They're complaining against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. If ye have the poor with you always, whensoever you will, you may do good to them. But me ye have not always. I call this distraction. What I mean by this is this. In this story, some thought that what this lady did when she came and broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on his head and anointed him for his burial, they had their eyes. Now, we know Judas wanted the money for himself, okay? But the Bible talks about the disciples here. They were on board with this. They thought that it was a waste. They said, hey, we ought to take that and give it to the poor. Hear what Jesus said. You have the poor always with you. But who is sitting in your presence right now? What she has done, she has wrought a good work on me. They were distracted from the Lord and looking at somebody else. When you complain, you have your eyes off of Jesus Christ. And you're distracted on something or somebody else. That's the causes. Let me give you number three, and I want to get to the closing point. Number three, the consequence of complaining. The consequence of it. We've noticed the command not to. We've noticed the causes of it within the Word of God. And those causes were disappointment, distress, disbelief, discouragement, delusion, distraction. Then we see the consequence of complaining. Now again, I'm just going to allude to these passages. You can go read them for yourself. But always remember, sin always comes with consequence. The sin of complaining is no different. Within the Word of God, we see the consequence of complaining is one word. And it's the word destruction. There is, and I get this, there is absolutely nothing good that comes from complaining. Nothing. Now, I want to give you these passages of Scripture. If you want to write them down, you can. Or if you just want this sermon, I'll run it off and give it to you. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. In that story, that's the story where Aaron and Miriam are complaining about Moses. Because he took a wife that they didn't agree with? Remember? You know what happened as a result of that? Miriam developed leprosy. Go read it. Numbers chapter 14, verses 27 through 29, and verses 36 and 37, going back to the evil report and how the people said, would to God we'd died in Egypt, at least we had food there, and they were complaining. In those verses, you'll notice that God sentenced those to a lifetime of wilderness wandering. Okay, you've complained against me, then your carcasses will die in this wilderness. Read it. That's what he said. And the evil reporters, I'm talking about the 10 spies, they dropped dead right there, right then. Complaining. Numbers chapter 16, Korah, Dathan, Abiram. They're murmuring against Moses and his leadership. They say, listen, we're all godly people here. Who do you think, I'm paraphrasing, who do you think you are? You take too much on you, Moses. We all be holy people. They're murmuring, they're complaining. God shows up. And God says, get away from them. And you read Numbers chapter 16, the earth opened up and they dropped straight down into hell. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that today, friends, when you complain? Amen. The earth will be opening up all over the place. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 6. This is the story whenever they were going one way and they wanted to go the other way, remember? The Bible says God sent fiery, fatal serpents to bite the Israelites who complained against him. In every instance, complaining, leprosy, complaining, sentenced to wilderness wandering and death, complaining, sudden death, complaining, sudden death. Listen, there is absolutely nothing good that comes from the sin of complaining. The sin displeases God and brings destruction. Numbers 11:1 says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Psalm 106:24-27, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. 1 Corinthians 10:10, listen to this. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. The consequence of complaining is destruction. I'm not saying you complain, you're going to meet the undertaker, but I am saying if you complain, you are putting things to death that God does not want to be put to death. You can kill your testimony. You can kill your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. If you complain, 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 it's going to destroy you, and it'll destroy those around you. Now, I've gotten to the final point here, which is where I was plowing in the first place. We're doing a Bible study on complaining. Just a simple Bible study. The command not to do it, it's against God. It displeases him. The causes in the Word of God, all those D's, distress, disappointment, discouragement, delusion, I mean all those things. When life throws a curveball, watch out that you don't start complaining. The consequence is it doesn't lift you up, it tears you down. It destroys you. But I conclude with point number 4, because this is really the message. And that is what I've called the contrast to complaining. The contrast to it. Complaining has been defined as to claim or express displeasure, to find fault, to declare annoyance, to make an accusation, to bring a formal charge. Now get this. While it's easy to complain, when you're disappointed, distressed, discouraged, deluded, distracted, or just disbelieving God, that's easy to do. I submit to you that there's an alternative to it. Let me say that when you are tempted to complain, and everybody will be, somebody in a crowd this size is going to go out to dinner today, more than likely somewhere, and some waitress or waiter is not going to get to you in time, or they forgot to come check on your refill. Amen. And here comes that grumbling complainer. Here he comes. It's trying to come out your mouth. What are you going to do with it? Let me give you 3 things quickly. When you are tempted to complain, number 1, are you ready for this? Number 1, thank the Lord for all things. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time you're wanting to complain, why don't you pause, stop, and thank God for the things He's done in your life. Are you going to do it? You don't understand the trials I go through. When I want my sweet tea, I got to have it now. You don't understand. Everybody, hey, listen, I know their complaining's wrong, but mine's not. Hogwash, friends. When you're tempted to complain, stop and thank God. Won't you stop and just dwell on the things He's done for you lately? Wait a minute. I can't believe you. I can't believe. What? Instead of dwelling on that and being distracted, won't you turn your eyes to God and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I just want to thank You that You have saved my soul from hell. Thank You for Your goodness to me. Thank the Lord in all things. Number two, trust the Lord in all things. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You believe that verse? Yes. You believe that verse? You ever complained? Then you don't believe that verse at that moment. Guilty. I'm guilty too. Do you understand that when God says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, that means all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose? Now, only God can do that. Hey, that trial you're going through, that disappointment, that distress, you get where I'm going with this, that discouragement? You may not understand it, but somehow, some way, God's big enough to turn it into a blessing to you if you'll trust Him. There is one that was known as one of the worst German concentration camps during World War II. When Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy found themselves imprisoned there, they were disgusted to discover that their barracks was infested with fleas. It's a concentration camp. It had a testimony, you know. This is one of the worst places you can go, and this is where they were sent. And when they got there, it was infested with fleas. And when Corrie began to complain, Betsy, her sister, insisted that they instead give thanks. And they began to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. With some persuasion, Corrie finally joined her sister in thanking God for fleas. I don't get it, God, but somehow, some way, thank You for these fleas. Several months later, the two sisters expressed their surprise that the camp guards had never come back to their barracks to disrupt or prevent the evening Bible studies that they held for their fellow prisoners. It was then that Corrie realized that the very fleas which she had so despised had actually been a godsend protection from the cruel guards coming and taking over their Bible studies. You have fleas in your life? Uncomfortable? Don't know what it is? Why are they there? I'd never choose this for myself. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Trust Him in all things. Thank Him in all things. And I close with this. Think about Him. Think about Him. When you're tempted to complain, stop and thank Him. Stop and trust Him. Stop and think about Him. Let me explain what I'm saying. A verse really hit me right between the eyes when I'm dealing with complaining and how I deal with that, and most people do. It's not this verse. It's coming later, but listen to this. Hebrews 12:2-3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Here's the verse I was talking about that really struck me. That takes complaining, and it's like a balloon, and this verse is like a dart that just obliterates it. Listen to this verse. Isaiah 53:7. Listen to this. He was oppressed, talking about the Lord, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. If anybody ever had the right to complain, it was Jesus Christ. Because what happened to him was a grave injustice. And the Bible says when he was oppressed and he was afflicted, he kept his mouth closed. That's convicting. You know what the answer to complaining is? Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The next time you are tempted to complain, when's that going to happen? Probably sometime today. Probably. Stop. Thank the Lord for who he is and what he's done and what he's doing. Trust him that if he's allowing fleas, he's trying to bless you, not hurt you. And think about him that when he was bruised and afflicted and oppressed and crucified and slaughtered, he kept his mouth shut. The stronghold of complaining. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we love you today. I pray that you'll give us victory over the stronghold of complaining. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As they get ready and prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you this question. Are you 100% sure that you're a child of God? Do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? I'm not asking, have you joined a church? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm not asking, are you living a good life? I'm asking, has there been a time in your life when you realized you were lost and on your way to hell? And you realized that Jesus died for you, he was buried and rose again? And I'm asking, has there been a time where you have turned to Jesus Christ? You have asked him to come into your heart to forgive your sin, and you were not playing games. You had a desire for him to change your life, and you have called on him to save you, to change you, to redeem you, and you're trusting Christ and Christ alone to get you to heaven. Is that true in your life? Are you born again? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you have, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. You can put them down. Thank you very much. If you did not raise your hand and you're being honest, thank you for being honest. If you're here today and say, Jody, I cannot raise my hand saying I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I sure desire to. I sure want that. I'd like to leave today knowing for sure that I am born again on my way to heaven, that I've trusted Christ. I cannot say I've done that, but I desire to. I really, really do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Anybody? 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 I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Momentarily, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I invite you to come momentarily. Have you here today say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. I struggle with the stronghold of complaining. God knows my heart. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm born again. And God is speaking to me about this message. about being a murmurer, a complainer, a griper, and you say, God is speaking to me. I believe God had you preach this message for me because I need this. Maybe God is dealing with you in that way. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? Yes. You got your hand raised. I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me. Okay, that's a lot of you, a lot of you. And I'll be honest with you, I raise my hand with you in this. Your pastor raises his hand with you. God has been so good to us, hasn't he? Matter of fact, you're seated. I want all of you to look at me just a moment. We're just about through. Can I get an amen here? God has been good to us. Amen. And there are so many things that the devil's going to try to say. Complain. Gripe. You'll feel better about it. May God help us the next time when we're tempted to complain. May God bring this message to our heart and say, why don't you thank God instead? Why don't you trust Him? And even if somebody did you wrong and that's not the will of God, your God's big enough to take that and turn it for your good. You know, He can do that. He can. I'm not saying He caused it, but He can turn it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Trust Him. You say, Jody, I just don't know. Then why don't you go back to Calvary? See Him oppressed. See Him brokenhearted. Afflicted. Headed to the slaughter block. He could have grumbled, God, my Father, why? None of that. He kept his top lip to his bottom lip, and he refused to complain. It's touching, isn't it? I'm going to have Brother Gary, let's all bow our heads, let's all stand together. We'll have him sing one verse. If nobody comes, we're done. If somebody responds, we'll keep going. If you need to be saved today, you come. If you want to come and say, God, help me. Help me. Break me free of this stronghold of complaining. As he sings, you come now. Would you do it? Come.
Oh, soul, come on, come are on. You weary God. And troubled?
You need to be saved. Now's your time. You come.
No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free.
Sing it if you know it.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonder. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
They're playing through softly. You can look this way. Get ready to be dismissed. We're dealing with one about their soul. So I'm going to ask as we leave, if you'll quietly just kind of remove yourself from the auditorium to give them some privacy. Start your fellowship out in the lobby and outside. Try to be here tonight if you can, 6:30. Ask God to be with us. And the next time you complain about your pastor, thank the Lord, repent, and bring Him some Krispy Kreme donuts, okay? Very good. I'm going to ask, let's see here. I'm going to ask Brother Brent Scroggs, if you wouldn't mind, to lift your voice and dismiss us, please.
Dear God, I thank you for this day. You gave us, God. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house and listen to your word and call to preach today. God, thank you for that. Help us to all be here change today and help us to apply this message to our life. Jesus, we go our separate ways. Help us come back and not hear your word preached. It's not great. Amen.